Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Beautiful song service. That was very inspiring. And a beautiful day, too. Nice to be here together. So Benjamin Franklin, in 1789, boy, was he a wise man. He recorded in a letter, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes," right? We try hard as we can to avoid both those things. Taxes are one thing, you know, we try to avoid those. It has an effect on your financial situation, but death has a much more, you know, it can be painful, it can be very uncomfortable going through illnesses associated with that, the physical pain and suffering. You know, if you've lived a while, which most of us in the room have, we have experienced friends leaving, dying, and leaving us, and we're familiar with the grief associated with death. You know, we human beings are subject to death, to pain, loss, grief, and suffering, and we look for ways to avoid that. We don't want that. In other words, we're looking for salvation. So I'm not going to bore you with the numbers and Strong's Concordance, but both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, if you look salvation up, the definitions are basically, you can fact check me on this if you want to, but it's something saved, deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, health, help, welfare, to preserve, to save, and bring victory and rescue. And don't we all need that? We need that. But rescue from what? So we're going to go back in time now. Before the flood, flood of Noah's time, people lived a long time. They lived a long time, and maybe they didn't think much about death because it didn't happen very often. I mean, Methuselah in Genesis 5:27, he lived 969 years. That's a long life. And then he died. Compare that to my dad, who I thought he lived a long, long life. He died at 95. And dad, you know, he didn't want to die, but he was tired. You know, he's tired. He actually died of COVID, but he was really, he didn't want to go either. Nobody wants to go. So I wonder how Methuselah felt at the end of his life, if he was going, "I'm ready to go, I'm tired." 1 Corinthians 15:26 says that the last enemy that we're going to have is death. Now, Noah, going back to that, he lived 950 years. So it's starting to go down now. But, you know, after the flood, things started to change and drop down more and more until you get to Psalm 90:10, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they're 80 years. Kind of sobering for those of us who are at that age. You know, I think it's safe to say we don't want to be in pain and suffer and then eventually die. We want to live. We want to see our kids and our grandkids and maybe great-grandkids. We want to be healthy and happy and safe and live in peace. But unless we're alive at Christ's return sorrowfully, all of us are going to eventually taste that. And it's kind of scary in a way. In Ecclesiastes 12:7, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit of man will return to God who gave it." All people want to be safe from want and protected from violence, have plenty to eat, have happy families, and live peaceably. But the reality is, all through human history, that has not been the case. We're fortunate to live where we live, but in the world in general, people are, you know, live under pretty horrific conditions. So we grasp for a lifeline and something that will save us, and, you know, so in other words, we need to be saved, we need salvation. So within the pages of the Pentateuch, everybody know what that is? The first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, otherwise known as the Law of Moses. God offers his people that very thing in those pages. He offers them salvation. So he's not doing that to the rest of the world, but he is to God's people. So, you know, Abraham, he believed God, and he passed this on to Isaac, and then on to Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons. Joseph was kidnapped, basically, and taken to Egypt, where he served there as a slave, and then eventually was released, and those 12 sons in a famine, and their father, Jacob, he went to Egypt because Joseph had provided food for them. And then they're enslaved eventually. They're enslaved in Egypt. And then, you know, and then about 400 years later, they're still in slavery, a mother made a basket and coated it with some tar to make it waterproof and put her little baby in there trying to save her little baby boy because Pharaoh was trying to kill all the babies. So she, in faith, put that baby in the hands of her daughter, Miriam, and Miriam put him in the water in the Nile, and of course, you know, the princess found the baby and raised it as an Egyptian, and then, you know, he went on, Moses, through his life, went on to eventually help the people, the Israelites, escape from Egypt. And that whole story, you know, it's, you know, they went to Mount Sinai and God gave them the law. Salvation has come to these people. And it's all about salvation. So this is what God said to them. You know, Deuteronomy is like a synopsis of the first five books of the Bible, basically. So in Deuteronomy 28, which many of you are familiar with, Deuteronomy 28:1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. So if you do this, I'll do that. And in Deuteronomy 28:11-12, and the Lord will grant you, if you do this, if you obey me, plenty of goods, in the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, and the land in which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain in your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. So, if you do this, I'll do that. If you don't do this, you can read the end of chapter 28 to see what happened. If you don't do. So when you read this synopsis in Deuteronomy of what the blessings that God will give for obedience, you discover something's missing from that. Something's missing from that. And this, you know, unfortunately, my brain, I guess, I didn't think of this until recently, but there's something missing in those blessings. The only thing that God is offering at this time is physical blessings. He's not offering any salvation spiritually. It's only physical. So you do this, I'll give you all those things. The idea of resurrection from the dead, which we want to be saved from death, you know, so that wasn't offered at that time. People were dying like crazy in those days. I guess we still are. But the idea of resurrection from the dead is sprinkled, you know, throughout the Old Testament, it's sprinkled in there. It's not really that evident, except in some of the prophets. So God did bless them when they obeyed, but with that blessing also came a warning in Deuteronomy 6:10-12. You know, this is can apply to us too. I mean, you know, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you out into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So once you get all these blessings and you're full and you're fat and sassy, don't forget who gave them to you and what you promised you'd do. But as we know from reading the scriptures, even with all those miracles, you know, saving them from slavery across the Red Sea, the manna, you know, the fire and the cloud, bringing them into the promised land, all those miracles, it didn't do anything. You know, I mean, they just gave it all up. Even after the glory of Solomon's time, they gave it all up. And in 721 BCE, the Israelite northern tribes were conquered by Assyria, taken into captivity. We call them the Lost Ten Tribes. And Judah, again, captured by the Babylonians in 586 BCE. Nebuchadnezzar and all that. So even the law written by the hand of God on stone tablets and all those miracles was not enough to save people from going the wrong way. No, perhaps there were some sitting on the banks of that river in Babylon. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? But there's hope. In Isaiah 45:17, but Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Everlasting salvation. There's a hint there. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. So only physical salvation was offered to the ancient Israelites, but with the hope of eternal life through a Messiah, and that kind of salvation was hinted at in this in the following verse, especially Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. So this ruler from everlasting was not a human being. It was God in the flesh. So after about 1,400 years after Moses' mother put him in that basket, another similar story took place. In Luke 2:4-11, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, which was referred to in Micah 5:2, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we know that was Jesus. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So like regular folks working, you know, out in the field. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Matthew 1:21 is where he's named, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What is sin? What is sin? The Bible defines it. Many of us who have been doing this for a while, these are memory scriptures that we've had over years, and they're good to remember. 1 John 3:4, and this is in the King James Version, so forgive my pronunciation. Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. If you break the law, no matter if it's a civil law or in this case a religious law, and you get caught, there's some kind of penalty. And then Romans 6:23 tells us what the penalty for breaking God's law is. For the wages of sin, what you earn for breaking God's law, the wages of sin is death. That's it. Okay? We earn death if we break God's law. We need to be saved, though. I mean, we have to be. Please save me from that. We need that salvation, and there's only one way you can get it or have it, by finishing the rest of that scripture. But the gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're dead otherwise. And not just dead in this life, but dead forever. True salvation has finally come to us by the life of Jesus, the Son of God, by His death and by His resurrection. It's come as a gift and not as a commandment. A gift of God's awesome love for us. When I was a kid, I was just a little kid, and my mom and dad gave me a really nice bicycle. They gave me a Schwinn, you know, one of those old Schwinns with the fat tires and all that stuff. And I remember my dad up on Brayton Street in North Long Beach teaching me how to ride my bike, you know, whoa, you know, finally got it, all right, you know. And I loved that bike. It was awesome. What a gift that was. And then, over time, as I got a little older, that bike got a little tarnished and kind of rusty. And pretty soon it was laying on the side of the house. And next thing I knew, it was gone. Gone. That was mine, though. I didn't take care of it, and it was gone. So, you know, when you receive a gift, that's yours. So the gift of God is eternal life, and that's yours. It's in you. And you can take care of it or not. But God's not going to take it back. Only you are responsible now. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Once God gives it to you, it belongs to you to take care of. Those gifts aren't something we deserve or have earned. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay, if we don't earn it, what are we supposed to do? How can you receive those gifts of God's salvation? You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up in front of all those people and had something pretty rough to say to them. You know, he said in Acts 2:36-39, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard that, they were cut to their heart. I mean, it really hurt them. And they go, whoa, man, how could this? And said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? And we killed God. And then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. You know, this is what God has given to us. You know, can't we earn this gift, though, by maybe keeping God's law perfectly? I mean, we know in Romans 7:12, it says, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So if I just keep that law, can't I be saved by that? By perfectly keeping God's law? No. There's only one way to be saved. The law was written on tablets of stone, but it just teaches us what sin is. Galatians 3:24-26. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So some of you are probably going, uh-oh, where's he going? Right where I'm supposed to go. Through God's awesome love, he has given us the gift of his Spirit, a promise of eternal life, and instead of external law that condemns us, it has become something within us and so much more awesome and more powerful. Now, there's two scriptures I'm going to use. I'm going to use the one in Jeremiah, but it's echoed in Hebrews. It's exactly word for word almost. So Jeremiah 31:33 says, so this is where the law is now, or should be. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that's echoed in Hebrews 8:10. So that's where the law should be now, not on tablets of stone anymore, not external, but within us. Ezekiel 36:26-27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. God gave them to us. They are ours to take care of, and it's part of us. We're part of God's family. We're part of God. The Spirit of God and his law, which in times past were external, are now internal. We have received them as gifts that are now ours and for us to care for and cherish. So do you believe me, what I'm saying? So if you have a problem believing me, be like that man whose son, I believe his son died, and he asked Jesus to help him, and he went to Jesus, and Jesus said, I can heal him. And in Mark 9:24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know what? I'm like this. I have a hard time sometimes, like, believe it. Eternal life forever with God? I mean, it's like unbelievable, kind of, you know? But that's what God is offering us. And all these things. Anyway, if you have a problem believing, ask God to help you believe. Acts 13:39, and by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 4:12. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So death and taxes. We need salvation of our God to save us from death, and that's being offered to us right now. But there's only one way to receive that gift. And this is how it was explained to, you know, Martha. I mean, her brother, Martha's brother, Lazarus, died, and she was distraught, and so was Jesus, actually. He cried, he wept. But he said in John 11:25, as he was speaking to Martha, Jesus said to him, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Most of us are going to die, probably. You know, we probably aren't going to make it. Maybe we will. Maybe Christ will come tomorrow or today. But chances are, you know. So, but if we believe, God is going to resurrect us through Jesus Christ. Because in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we may have to go through the physical death, you know, but God will resurrect us. God loves his people. To the ancient Israelites, he gave physical salvation, and as the story progresses through time, hints of salvation from the last enemy, death, are given until the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Tremendous gifts have been freely given to us, the Holy Spirit, God's law written on our hearts, and eventually eternal life. We need to take really good care of those things that are now ours. They belong to us. They're in us. This is who we are. God is entrusting us with these things. So stir up the Holy Spirit within you and praise our awesome God and just believe.